listening to the best of the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Featuring our podcast, One More Thing.
Get more info at armstrongandgetty.com.
So I am not making mountains out of the molehills that have utterly defaced my yard. But yeah, we got moles in the yard, and they're digging the hell out of it. And it's you know, I'm not super vain lawn guy, but it's just they're like...
They'll destroy your lawn. Just destroy it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then you got to start completely over, and that's really expensive and time-consuming.
Yeah, and so now I have dirt patches all over the lawn, and we tried poisoning them and all, and then I talked about it on the air.
You should try lecturing them.
Try to explain to them, listen, I've worked hard all my life to pay for this lawn.
I'm a good person.
And it's selfish of you.
You see that guy over there? That house? Those are terrible people.
Right, go
chew over there.
Yeah, trust me, they're a-holes. Let's see. I want to make sure I get this all correct. Oh, there we go. Yeah. It's from a Matt whose business is trapping moles and gophers and other varmints that destroy yards or businesses. He does a lot of commercial work with cemeteries, mm-hmm. ballparks, office complexes, stuff like that. Mm. And he's been kind enough to advise me. And so he turned me on to these traps that were designed and manufactured by a dude in California. And they came the other day. And with some help from Judy, I just wanted another pair of eyes. We found one of the mole tunnels, one of the good, mm-hmm. like, repeated use tunnels.
A nice thoroughfare. Straight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mole highway. And we located that through the means he suggested. And you dig it out, you know, fairly carefully. Then you don't enlarge it, but you, like, neaten it, get loose dirt out of there.
Uh-huh.
And then you arm these traps. Now, when you say trapping a mole... You're actually, I'll just say this, it's not trap and release.
Like right. A timeshare?
It's not,
Trapped in a timeshare.
No, it's different from that.
Okay.
You trap them and release them to God.
Okay. Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
You're murdering moles.
Justifiable homicide? Self-defense?
They're a pest.
Yes, they are.
Although I got rid of a pest once and found out I could get fined, what was it, $6,000 per pest I got rid of?
Well, that's...
Something like that?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've never had any moles in my yard, and probably never will, and this story is entirely made up for the entertainment of the audience.
Sure. That's what we do. We try to entertain people.
Right, exactly. Please. I almost went with lions.
You live in an apartment. You don't even have a lawn.
Right! I almost said there are lions tearing up my front yard, but then I thought moles would make a better story. Anyway, having cleared that up, Your Honor, Judy and I, we found the tunnel Sunday, and we followed all the directions super carefully and armed these traps, which would render you nine-fingered if you're not careful.
Oh,
or at least hurt like crazy.
So what?
It would probably not lop off your finger, but it would do it harm.
So what in this fanciful tale actually ends the mole's existence? Is it its head being removed? Is it being stabbed? Is it being crushed?
Is there a badger in this thing that you're trapping it with?
Is it poisoned?
It gets a really big hug from the trap
around
its neck.
Okay.
Yes.
A neck hug.
Yes.
Everybody's favorite kind.
Exactly. Good night, Molly. So anyway.
Like we did to Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, just like that.
Fairly similar. Yes. Again, in this apocryphal tale. So we found the tunnel. It was exactly, you know, it was kind of satisfying because you're under the ground, you're probing, you're trying to find like a soft spot and all, and you're like, oh, that was kind of suspicious. You dig it up, there it is. The mole tunnel. And so we lay one trap going one way, the other trap going the other way, embedded in the dirt really nice, and carefully replace dirt over it so no light gets in and the rest of it. And then, as Matt, the trapper guy, said, let's let that soak for a couple of days. He's got a number of expressions that are very amusing. But so we did that Sunday late morning, and these things have been ripping the hell out of the yard. I go out, I come home from work Monday, about midday, and there are no new molehills at all. Judy and I go out. We check again last night. None. I scan a bit this morning. There's no activity witnessed or witnessable, observable. And they never took a day off. Hell, they didn't take a quarter of a day off. So I'm thinking this afternoon, I lift up the plug of earth and we'll have to deal with and release from the traps, the mole carnage. And I'm not great with dead beasts. I'd prefer not to deal with them. I will.
if you enjoy dealing with them, you need to be watched by the authorities.
Thank you for that affirmation. Unless, you know, you're a hunter,
you know,
or something.
A dead beast.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, whatever it takes and whatever beast, I just love killing them.
Especially if it's been a couple of days.
Neighborhood cat. I would never do that. You know me, I'm a merciful man. Judy said to me, we were taking a walk the other day. She says, I said, you know, I'm not really looking forward to dealing with these dead beasts who may have been under there for a couple of days. And she said, well, how much were the traps? I said, well, it was like $14.95 for two of them. She said, well, we could just throw them away. I said, no, I'm not doing that. I do have some self-image. I'm a man. I'm a manly man.
You just throw the whole trap away?
No, because we might need them again. I got to deal with the dead beast.
100% the whole thing's going right in the garbage with me.
No way. I'm a manly man, Sean.
Well, you can't just...
Just the other day. I'm warning you, if you're eating right now, put your spoon down. Just the other day, dead squirrel in the backyard. Well past its freshness date. And I had to use the shovel and bring it to... I'm not going to tell you what I did with it, because some wouldn't approve, but it went away.
Threw it in a neighbor's pool.
Nah, I don't know about their pool or maybe their hot tub. But
crafted it into a pie.
Exactly. Waited until he was coming out of his front door in the morning and hurled it in his face. I don't recall. I may have.
Hey, you, catch!
They're in a neighbor's pool. I like that.
I may have gone Rand Paul's neighbor on my neighbor I don't like, but actually, I like my neighbor.
I deal with dead beasts and stuff like that all the time living out in the country, and I still might throw the traps away.
Mm.
I mean, if there's going to be much like freeing the beast from it and cleaning it and stuff like that, I might just throw the whole trap away.
I think I can pry the jaws apart and pretty easily and just...
So you don't think it's like...
I would feel like
it
was.
I don't want to get too gross here, but...
No, I don't either.
Okay. Because we had mole traps that were different when I was a kid. They had spikes that went down. And
I've used those.
And punctured them, and when you pulled them out of there, I mean, it was pretty grotesque.
An Iron Maiden.
It was an Iron Maiden, yeah. It was a mole Iron Maiden.
Wow. I did that with gophers once. I told you that story. This was back in Salina, Kansas, where I was complaining about these gophers ripping up our yard. And that was our first house we ever had. So I was pretty, you know, unhappy about it. And the guy said, look, he said, this is not for the air, all right? I said, okay, what? He said, listen, here's my name. Jot down my number. I've got some traps, but you can't tell anybody where you went. And, it was the...
Were they military grade?
You know those lions I had tearing up my yard?
You got them from an old Soviet republic.
Oh, yeah. They're only legal in Iran and North Korea. But, yeah, this son of a gun came over. He set them up for me, and it was that same... I don't even remember how they're tripped, but it would just drive the spike on a big old spring straight down through the ground.
Yep.
Woo! Mole kebab.
Get vanquished, varmint.
Gopher on a stick, literally. What are you going to do? They're pests. So I tell you what, in the One More Thing podcast, I will reveal whether indeed there was mole carnage under the ground.
Okay.
Armstrong and Getty.
You're listening to the best of the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Information.
This is the best of Armstrong and Getty.
Featuring our podcast, One More Thing.
Available everywhere. Get more info at armstrongandgetty.com. You know, this is a funny coincidence. When I come to work, I drive to work. It's about half an hour. I listen to news until I can't stand it anymore, which is generally about 90 seconds away from the radio ranch. And so I flip on music. I get like half a song in. But if it's the right song, it will buoy my spirits for the day ahead.
Hmm.
You know how you like to have your spirits buoyed.
Oh, who doesn't?
And today, it happened to be the Led Zeppelin classic, Hey, Hey, What Can I Do? Occasionally referred to as Street Corner Girl. It's a song about his girlfriend, the prostitute.
It's about a prostitute?
Yeah. She bought all day. She drank all the time.
Okay.
Anyway, so I was going to tweet, but I'm too busy right before the show, and I just did now to make up for it. The three best songs about prostitutes, a prostitute, to my mind, are Hey, Hey, What Can I Do? By Led Zeppelin, Roxanne by The Police, and Henrietta by The Fratellis. And fewer people know that song, but it is one of the great songs of all time, and it's about a hooker. And I say that's a funny coincidence because executive producer Hansen just brought to my attention the following headline. Swiss brothels draw up a list of coronavirus safe guidelines, including
Swiss brothels. Do they have legalized prostitution there?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
And indeed,
is that pretty common in like European countries?
Yes. More
like,
common.
Does France have legalized prostitution?
I don't know that. I mean, the Netherlands famously has various areas where it's okay. Yeah. Amsterdam, red light district.
Yeah,
blah, blah,
but
blah.
I know
everybody
knows Italy,
that.
France, I don't know that. Germany.
I don't know that. I know in Northern Europe there's much more tolerance than in the more puritanical U.S. For instance, one might say more moral U.S. I don't know. But Swiss sex workers have drawn up a list of rules which they say minimizes the risk of transmitting the Chinese bat fever in brothels in hopes that the country's ban on the industry could soon be lifted. So they've been shut down like hairstylists in the U.S. And I like this paragraph. This is from the Daily Mail. It comes as Switzerland's adult industry. What? Adult industry? That's a meaningless phrase.
Anyone over 18.
Say what it is. Has been heavily hit by the pandemic. Government placed a temporary ban on prostitution 2 months ago to help stop the spread of the virus. The plan to reopen the industry, prepared by one of the hooker organizations, suggests that there are two positions which allow for safe distance between people's faces so you don't breathe moistly on them, to quote Justin Trudeau of Canada.
Since we especially now know that's the most likely way to catch it, is somebody breathing and you get the droplets.
Speaking moistly.
Well, I have some guesses
panting
here.
Panting moistly.
Yeah,
exactly. And listen, we could work as blue as we wanted. It's a
awesome
podcast.
Okay, here we go.
No way. We could, Sean.
Oh, I misunderstood.
That doesn't mean we will. No, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
So they officially said, as long as you're doing it in such a way that you're not face-to-face, you can do the whole prostitute John thing. That's
right,
interesting.
So if you're not familiar with
this. Are they on the honor system with this?
No, they're saying that we will. It's like businesses in America that say, look, we'll keep the customers apart, like one of our sponsors is in the mattress business.
I don't want a whore breathing on me anyway.
All right, then. But if you did, the point is the sex workers are trying to make a living. But they're saying to their government, look, we've figured out how to make this safe. We're ready. And, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but there's one style that Baxter, my dog, might enjoy. For instance, that's one of the positions. And the other is... if you're
Wilbur,
a Western,
bingo,
a woman. No, they don't mention that. That's too tiring. If you are,
I don't have the arm strength at this point.
A woman in the Western U.S., an accomplished horsewoman or a cowgirl, and you were going in one direction and reversed.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Your direction. That might be an option for you.
Pretty good list so far.
Yeah, since it's not like I'm uninterested.
No.
Yeah, I can work within these guidelines.
I look at this menu, I can order here.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, well, there's no point in going then. Yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, I might prefer, but you know what? Let's go ahead.
So, do they have to wear masks, I assume?
Let's see. So you got positions, then they mention them again, avoid prolonged face-to-face contact. Other measures, Jack, for protecting the health of sex workers include ventilating rooms for at least 15 minutes after each customer. I'd appreciate that anyway.
God.
The thought.
The nitty-gritty, the ins and outs, if you'll pardon the expression, of the whole industry are, when you get down to it, just really makes it less sexy.
Well, And the more they describe, the less sexy it gets.
Because I haven't been to one of these places, but I got to assume you try not to think about if it's 11 o'clock at night, I'm the...
What time did your shift start?
However many person...
Oh.
Well, not even her. Golly. Just how many people have laid in this bed? Just right. The sheets themselves.
And if she really loves you?
not even getting into that. Just the sheets themselves.
Well, we'll get to that.
The pillows. The idea of going to a hotel and crawling into a bed that a...
Pillows? Do you think you get to sleep there?
If I'm sleeping with a woman, I expect to sleep.
Well, good night. Sleep well. See you in the morning.
You get done.
What?
Well, good night.
Taking a nap.
Can I borrow your toothbrush?
I'm beat.
Other measures include ventilating rooms, blah, 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 and washing bed sheets and hand towels at a temperature of at least 60 degrees each time. 60 degrees?
That's cold.
That's, I'm assuming
cold.
That's Celsius.
No, that's a Celsius. Yeah, yeah, that's
gotta be
Celsius.
Got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. What's 60 degrees Celsius? Hot.
Very hot.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Finally. It also recommends sex workers wear a mouth and nose covering at all times. So
140 degrees Fahrenheit.
Woo, that's hot. Gloves, condoms, and disinfectants would also be provided at the brothels, and each session should be kept 15 minutes. Yeah, no problem. Let's see. Document advises against workers touching the personal belongings of customers, such as their jacket. Customer contact data would be recorded. Uh-oh. No chance of that getting hacked or released or blackmailed or anything.
Oh, is this for contact tracing?
For the purpose of tracing. Yeah. See, kept for 4 weeks.
Getting back to the clothes, that's what I'd rather do than go to one of these places. Jacket.
Oh, boy. They say the current ban could give rise, well, has given rise to illegal sex work, creating safety issues.
Yeah.
So see, best to keep it on the correct side of the, yeah, the sidelines.
That's the weird thing with prostitution where it gets complicated. It's going to happen anyway. So you get down to whether you want to have some control over it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like the marijuana argument, I guess.
Prostitution in Switzerland is legal and regulated, while trafficking, forcing people into prostitution, and most forms of pimping are illegal.
Most forms?
I think if you're like just, you got a cane with a gold ball on the end and a big diamond earring.
It's more a personality type than a profession.
Right, exactly. Gotcha. Yeah. You can be pimping, but you can't be pimping. A Thai woman was arrested on March 24th for not closing her brothel and was fined about $1,500. It's terrible.
I would assume that the worst kind of prostitution continued through the coronavirus, you know, peak, whether you liked it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
wheelbarrow. I mean, in your 20s, yes. Thereafter, no.
My grip strength. You don't even know what I'm talking about. You do, you millennial over there with your bad grip strength.
Armstrong and Getty. You're listening to the best of the Armstrong and Getty Show.
You're listening to the best of the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Featuring our podcast, One More Thing.
Get more info at armstrongandgetty.com.
By the way, I was following the Twitter last night, and somebody tweeted out, podcast was really funny today, I laughed a lot. And I thought, I have no idea what we were talking about on the podcast. I have no memory whatsoever. Mm. And I just thought,
senility.
It's interesting. A person thought it was funny enough to, you know, mention on the tweet, and I thought, I zero remember. Mm. So I just went to Google and I said, Armstrong and Getty, One More Thing. And it gave me a bunch of links, and I clicked on one and then found the podcast and listened to a little. Oh, yeah, it was the moles and the various jokes about various things.
Right.
But anyway, I did recognize there are like 15 podcasts titled One More Thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. By various people, including one that might even be a radio show. So I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
There's no copyright in the world of podcasting. You can call yourself Moby Dick if you want to. Or?
Yes. Yeah. So unless it's designed to deceive. I mean, if we started calling ourselves the Joe Rogan podcast, I think he could intercede. People could make us stop. But ours is Armstrong and Getty, One More Thing. So, you know, that helps. But yeah.
Well, so can I call, I couldn't call a company Jim's Pepsi, could I?
No, almost certainly not. There are exceptions.
But anyway, I was on the Twitter.
You can't copyright a title, I know. I could write a movie about Hollywood leading actors and actresses who get into a battle to the death, and I could call it Star Wars. Unless Lucasfilms could prove that I was attempting to mislead people. Why there have been you know, dozens of movies of various titles. I don't have a list in front of me, but there are some titles that have been used over and over again.
Hmm. But while I was on the Twitter, I came across a tweet from Tim Sandifer. He used to be Tim the Lawyer when he'd call on our radio show, and then he became famous as Tim Sandifer, a man standing up for freedom. And anyway, he tweeted, "Delighted that my poem Seeds is in the latest First Things magazine," and then he has a link, and I knew he wrote poetry and is really into poetry.
Mm.
And I responded, "So you're a published poet too?" You know, And other people responded to that, like this guy who said, he writes poetry that gets published, and I find the joy of eating Doritos and chips with sour cream. Yeah, I feel sort of the same way. Yeah, but you can probably eat more hot dogs than him, Jack. Yes, exactly. But
yeah, good point.
To have the Declaration of Independence memorized and all the things that he clearly takes in terms of information, and he's a published poet, I just found a little
much. Yeah, I know, it's incredibly discouraging.
Are these haikus? Or what kind of poems are these?
Probably the kind that don't rhyme.
Oh, correct. Yeah, well, every year he and his beautiful bride send out a Christmas card featuring her photography and his poetry.
Just to make us all feel bad about ourselves. That's the intent.
Aren't they just
exactly
perfect?
That's their intent. Feel bad about yourself.
I've found the poem, in case you haven't read Tim's stuff, it's Seeds. You stick this little thing, looks like a rock, under the ground. Wait a while, add some water probably, and before you know it, it's a plant. Seeds.
That's nice.
Oh, speaking of putting things under the ground.
Yes, right.
All right.
Comeuppance time.
Here's the story. My lawn has been utterly decimated by a mole or moles.
Russian moles? Soviet moles.
No, Susan Rice. No. No, James Comey. They just rip up the lawn. There's piles of dirt everywhere, tunnels and the rest of it. And I tried various methods to get rid of it and then asked on the air if anybody had any advice. And Matt, who does this for a living, responded and says, hey, I do this for a living. Here's what I would suggest. Use this equipment, blah, blah, blah. And he's been enormously helpful. And so Judy and I, Sunday, we put these mole traps under the ground. Now, if you missed yesterday's podcast, the idea is they're very much like a mouse trap. They look quite different, but it's the same idea. The mole trips a trigger, the jaws snap shut.
And your description was it gets a neck hug.
Yeah, a firm neck hug. Hmm. Probably a little too firm. Or wherever the jaws of, some would say, death. Wherever they hit the mole, that's where he gets the hug, Jack.
Oh, geez.
Just like Joe Biden, it doesn't ask whether you want to be hugged.
Oh.
Yes. Partisan politics. So anyway, so we planted these traps according to Matt's fabulous directions and the video on the website. And we found a perfect tunnel, as we were describing yesterday. And put the traps down there and then recovered them up, put the dirt around so there was no sunlight. 2 days later, not a single additional mole hill in the yard.
All right.
And I thought, 2 days long enough, man, because 6 hours doesn't go by without more damage being done to the lawn. And so I got all
energetic
excited.
Little bastards.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've got a metabolism like... Well, actually, like a lot of animals their size, like a shrew, they just go constantly. And so I thought, 2 days long enough, I'm digging it up. So I took the earth, like, plug core thing that I dug out, and to my surprise, the hole was really full of loose dirt. I thought, that's weird, because this is kind of a plug thing, and I'll dig through the dirt. And I dig, and I can see one of the traps has been triggered. So I pull it up. Damn it, empty. So I dig, I find the other one. It, too, has been triggered. Empty.
I feel triggered.
Anyway, as it turns out, I wrote to... this is the wrong text line. I texted you guys a picture that Matt sent me that we're going to talk about in just a second. Let's see. But I said, I explained to him what happened. He said, yeah, that's pretty typical, especially with rookies. You got to find a different spot on the tunnel, try again, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, because it's rained a little bit where I live, but he says, wet dirt. Oh, and we started watering more because the lawn was starting to get browned out. He said, wet dirt is a lot easier for them to deal with. They don't have to vent it out of the tunnel. That's why you don't see any new molehills. But probably in their diggings, they threw dirt onto the trap. It triggered the traps before they got
there. Right.
They understand the way the trap works.
Yeah, and soon they'll be coming into my home at night.
Took the cheese, and they're just eating like kings. Yeah, I don't know. Do you bait it with cheese? I'm not sure.
Is there any chance your dog tipped them off like you've got a mole in your home?
My dog is a mole working on behalf of moles. That's going to be confusing to the readers. Wait a minute, honey. The dog is a mole? What is the mole?
Now we're talking about the little beast.
No, the mole's a mole, too. Oh, blah, blah, blah. So he says, I suggest sitting a foot or two away from that now jinxed spot. If you can find the same tunnel, And I said, ah, those bastards. He said, check this out from last week at the National Cemetery in San Francisco. This was just one mole. Now, I sent all you guys the picture via text. Can you look at it right now?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Yeah, take a look at that.
One, two, three, four, five.
Well, and they stretch on. You can't see in the other row. But
that's one mole in what period of time?
Ooh, that's not clear, although those diggings look very fresh to me, so it's probably within a day or two.
Oh, that stinks.
And it's the National Cemetery. It's like Arlington National Cemetery, but it's in San Francisco, and it's defacing the graves of our fallen heroes. And that's what Matt does for a living. He goes to places like that and ends that, but quick. And I've resisted the temptation to have him actually come over and help me. Oh, man, look at the Golden Gate Bridge in the background. That's a beautiful shot. But I'm going to give it another whack, see if I can snuff the moles. But I'm 0 for moles. I must admit to a temporary setback. The word is not defeat, because I will not be defeated.
Is your bloodlust growing as you get more frustrated? Like yesterday, you were a little concerned about how they're getting treated. And now you're wanting them to pay. You're wanting carnage. You're wanting... You're like Mel Gibson at the end of that stretching movie.
Oh,
Braveheart?
It was a lot. It was about a lot more than stretching.
It's not called the stretching movie.
No,
I don't think so.
Braveheart, freedom.
Well, then they stretch him.
Well, listen, I was going to say you're a very perceptive man, because as you may recall yesterday, I was saying I'm not really looking forward to pulling out dead moles and dealing with that and unclamping the jaws and the rest of it. Now I can't wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. That's fine. I'll deal with it. Maybe I'll just saw their little heads off.
Oh, jeez.
Nothing counts so much as blood.
No, we'll give it another try, and I'll let you know how it goes.
But maybe Tim the lawyer can write a poem about it.
That'd be a grisly poem.
You're listening to the best of the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
Information.
This is the best of Armstrong and Getty.
Featuring our podcast, One More Thing.
Available everywhere. Get more info at armstrongandgetty.com.
So we're looking at the pictures of a spring break in Florida where the young people are defying everything they've heard about coronavirus and packing the beaches of Clearwater, Florida,
defying gravity with their firm, firm bodies.
Which I guess is a destination spot for spring breakers now. You used to... Towns come and go, and what often happens is towns work to become a spring break destination for college kids. People start coming there. They start making a lot of money. It starts destroying the town so much they decide they're better off without it,
right.
And then they discourage it, if not, like, ban it, mm-hmm. And then it goes to a different town. That's the history of these things. So I went to one spring break when I was in college. I worked all through high school, so every time we had Easter break, I worked at the feedlot. Then I worked a full-time job starting my freshman year of college, and I worked all summer. I would work on Christmas Day, Thanksgiving Day, my Easter break, everything.
That's why he's so bitter, everybody.
And then after...
Bitter, bitter man.
And it took me an extra semester to graduate because I worked so much. So I had my 4 years and plus one semester to graduate, and there I was going to graduate, or I was going to be done with college in December because of that extra half year. And I can remember it in my mind. I saw on a poster board in one of the college buildings a go to Daytona for spring break, $250 for transportation and hotel.
Yes.
I thought, really? I thought, I can afford that, and I have vacation time. I've worked at this radio station for 4 years, and I've never taken one vacation.
Wow. Time to turn it loose.
I am going to take a freaking vacation, and I'm going to do this. And I pulled off the little tab of paper, because it was one of those things, and I called the number, and I booked my trip. And it was the bus ride down there and back, and your hotel room for an entire week for $250. I thought, that's awesome.
Yeah, adjusted for inflation, that's still practically nothing.
Yeah, it's still pretty cheap.
Yeah.
And again, I had a full-time job. my rent was $500 a month, to give you an idea of, you know, what things cost then. Mm-hmm. But so we left on the bus. It was a 32-hour bus drive. They drove nonstop all the way there.
Oh.
And it was jam-packed full of college kids. I mean, just every seat completely full. But everybody was younger than me. I was 24. How old would I have been? 23. I think I was 23 when this trip happened. So they called me the old man because everybody else was like,
yes.
I was like 19. Uh-huh. At that time, the drinking age was 18 where I lived, so that wasn't part of it. But
sperm, you had all your grown-up teeth, so you're the old man.
The old man, man. He knows. He's been, ask Jack. He's the old man. He's been around the block. We went on this 32-hour bus ride, people drinking. I mean, just the amount of beer we loaded on that thing, and you brought your own stuff. It was just the bus ride and the hotel. Mm-hmm. We loaded all our own beer in there, and people brought kegs and everything like that.
Wow.
And it was the kind of bus that had a bathroom in the back. But people drank the entire way there. 32 hours nonstop, no sleeping, just music blaring from both ends, different songs.
Oh.
It was just insane.
God, it sounds like something you'd do to Al-Qaeda.
It really does.
Doesn't it, at this
point?
It
really does. Yeah. And the bathroom was just nothing but urine and vomit
by the
time we got there, which ended up being a good preview. I mean, it was like, you know, warming me up for what was to come in Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
Just it was just incredible. And, of course, you know, you can't actually drink for 32 hours. Nobody can. And so you get really, really drunk. I remember what time we left, but, you know, you drink. It's 3 in the morning, and you finally fall asleep. You can't take it anymore. You wake up. Some people are still partying. The sun's up. You got a pounding hangover. You start drinking again. There's, like, another 15 hours of bus ride to go.
Oh.
I mean, it was just insane. Get drunk again. Roll into town and get to Daytona Beach and walk into the hotel. And everything in this hotel has been busted already. Because spring break lasts like 3 weeks and kind of just rotating crowds of people.
Right.
And it's when Daytona was the hot spot. MTV was there and everything. But the hotel is just trashed.
Did you see Alan Hunter?
I may have. I don't know. I was so drunk for so long. And everybody else was too. Yeah. But everything was smashed. Like, you get into the elevator and there's broken glass all over the floor of the elevator. The fluorescent lights on top of the elevator had been smashed. Why would you smash those? I don't know. But everything was smashed. The vending machines were smashed. The hotel room was pretty clean. They cleaned it. But by the end of it, everything was smashed. I never smashed anything. I'm not a destructive guy. But tearing up bed sheets to do it. It's just insane. I'd never been around behavior like this.
Wow.
And then just
civilization had broken down.
And people drank kind of in shifts, 24 hours. The lights were always on in the rooms. Doors were open to all the rooms, so you could just wander in and out of rooms. It was like a community, just everything.
Yeah.
And people you didn't know and wander in their room and now wander out of your room. And there was no, like, official lights off sleeping. Lights were always on, and you found a place to sleep somewhere, got up hungover, and started drinking again. Is what most people did. It was just insane, though.
God.
Just insane. And I thought, I don't care how much money they make at this hotel, it can't possibly be to their advantage to have every light fixture, every carpet be replaced, every everything be replaced.
Yeah.
And apparently it's not, because it was a couple of years later that Daytona really started, like, making the taxes so high and everything like that to discourage spring breakers and send them to where they may be, maybe now Clearwater or whatever.
Well, your hotel would have to be like one of those groovy modern cars. Which car is it? The VW or somebody makes the car that's like you can hose it down and there's a plug in the bottom of the floor to let the water run out.
Oh, yeah. Like the, what is it, Honda Pilot or something like that?
Something
one
like
of those
that.
Weird kind of hybrid
super
SUV
outdoorsy,
things.
Yeah. So the hotel's, a whole hotel's got to be like that. You just turn a fire hose on into the room. You got a rubber mattress.
Before the spring break, they take out all the good lamps, bring in these, the cardboard ones.
I wonder why you would allow that, because, you know, hotels end up with partiers for St. Patrick's Day, for instance, or anything else, but they don't allow you to smash stuff up. Just overwhelmed by the number of people willing to do it?
I wonder. Yeah. I you know, that's an interesting question.
I was astonished.
I mean, back in that day, I guess you weren't taking credit card imprints for room damage or whatever. Because now you'd be on the hook, man. You'd get charged.
And should be.
Yeah.
And should be.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just
blew my mind. The way that you were describing it, too, the person whose room it was very easily could not have been the one doing the damage to it. And
right.
So, you know, all the doors are open. People are just coming and going. It's like a temporary fraternity house, right?
I've known that guy before in the modern era of credit cards. A guy was telling me a story many, many years ago. He had a bill in the morning for, I forget how much, like $600 on the phone. And damage to the room. It was his credit card. People he didn't know wandering in, you know, over a 48-hour period.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, one of those kind of parties. Yeah, that'd be a bad deal.
So was there a fornicating A lot of crazy stuff, experiments, maybe things you don't talk about till this day. Or go ahead.
One, I had a girlfriend, and I was just the kind of guy that I had a girlfriend, so that wasn't on my agenda. And
men,
I hung out,
women, dolphins.
And just... I mostly hung out with another guy who also had a girlfriend, so and we just drank beer. That's all we did the whole time. Nonstop. Everybody in my room is just nonstop of beer drinking. It makes no sense looking back on it. What would be the enjoyment?
What were you trying to accomplish?
Exactly. What was the enjoyment here? I was sick the entire time. One level of another or sick.
God, sounds like a nightmare to me.
I remember this one guy traveling on our bus. He had a big boom box, and he played Stairway to Heaven, I gotta believe, 50,000 times on that trip. He was a Zeppelin guy. And he would do air drumming, and he was just so into it. He'd sit there on the bed drinking beer, air drumming to Stairway to Heaven over and over and over again, just nonstop. He'd leave the room, go down to the pool where they're having a party or whatever, come back, and he's still on the bed, air drumming to Led Zeppelin.
He can't be alive now. Oh, man.
Why is that ever fun? Because you got the energy of youth. You just need to, like, rebel or release.
I don't know.
Because it wasn't just me. There were tens of thousands of people there.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I've seen the scenes, but I don't know. I was never cut out for that. Lord knows I've enjoyed, relaxants of various sorts through my life. But, like, the multi-day, all-day drunk-a-thon, I'm just not made for it. I get too tired. I tire easily. I'm a sprinter.
Yeah. No, I've always been a long distance runner.
Yeah, I admire that.
Armstrong and Getty.
You're listening to the best of the Armstrong and Getty Show.